Hello and welcome to episode 2 of First and Gold Purdue Podcast, where our hot takes are realer than Rohrman's contests. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. Sim, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. That was nice, man.
Good, good, good. Just gotta just make sure to let everybody know.
We're not like Roman
But hope everybody is doing well. Hope everybody enjoyed the bye week. Got some stress-free time, got to spend some time with your loved ones there. And didn't have to worry about Purdue providing any unnecessary stress. That all changes this week. We will talk and talk about the Notre Dame game coming up. But first, just kind of wanted to highlight a little bit of what was happening in the Big Ten. If you missed it last week, a couple upsets. One went the Big Ten's way, one did not. But Sim, before we kind of talk about those, anything really jump out to you last week?
I mean, I think we talked about it before. I think the Iowa game actually I'm most did because I think what was it last week they put up like 40 points and everyone and I think they were talking like, oh no, it's gonna be different this year. And then it really
Second
wasn't
round.
when they ran into Iowa State. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I thought too, the one that really jumped out to me, not necessarily that they lost, but how bad Michigan got manhandled.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you had a chance to watch the game, but they just weren't competitive at all,
Yeah.
which really shocked me. I know Texas is legit. I know that they're probably the best team in the country right now. But to go into the Big House and to win like they did, pretty impressive if you're a Texas fan, and pretty disappointing, I would say, if you're a Michigan fan.
No, I would agree. Yeah, I didn't get to watch a whole lot of it. Your boy was out here trying to enjoy the bye week, like you said, try to, rest up for the stress. But yeah, when I saw the score was what I saw, I think it was what 17-3, and then it was 31-6. And like Michigan, I kind of feel like was like I kind of viewed them in the same lens as I viewed Notre Dame, where like I watched them their first week and like they kind of struggled to pull away. Like they pulled away late in the game, but like it didn't like on offense, it didn't look as kind of dominant. Like last year, I felt like they were like a boa constrictor where they just slowly bled you out. And yeah, for Texas to go in there and just be like, yeah, so we're gonna need this win real quick, and not just to get it, but like you said, in that dominating fashion, that to me was very surprising as well. Absolutely.
So just a couple other games to touch on as well. Illinois, with a big win at home, upsetting 19th ranked Kansas. Believe I saw, and I'm sure Twitter will fact check me on this one, but I think that was Brett Bielema's first win against a ranked team against Illinois. Take that for what it's worth. There was one complete Big Ten conference game. Michigan State went on the road and beat Maryland 27-24. So nice win for the Spartans on the road there. But speaking of upsets, let's kind of jump right into the biggest upset
Gonna say, let's get
of
right
the
into
weekend. And that was Northern Illinois, 28-point underdogs, go into South Bend and beat the number 5 ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Sim, I know we talked a little bit about this offline, but kind of what you were your initial thoughts on it, and then how do you think it's going to affect Purdue this week? Because I know we were watching live, and I kind of wanted Northern Illinois to miss the field goal and Notre Dame to win. But I'm never going to be upset about Notre Dame losing at home.
Bro,
So,
that's exactly how I feel, man. Like I'm not, because you weren't alone. Like I had multiple people who I knew who were saying the same thing about how they wanted Notre Dame to win because they wanted a chance for us to be the ones to upset them. And honestly, like that first drive of the game that Notre Dame had, where they just marched down the field and scored, I was like, oh, okay. I was like, they're about to run it up on these boys. But then I believe, but Northern Illinois, I think they got a turnover, scored. No, and then they had a long touchdown pass, and then got a turnover, and then converted that, I think, into a field goal, and it was 10-7. And I felt like I watched that whole game, and I was waiting for Notre Dame to just pull away. I was waiting for them to just kind of like, all right, well, like, we're done playing around with you guys, like, it's over. And it just never happened. And like I actually saw, so I saw the whole first half. Second half, though, I was running some errands. And then I got an alert that, like, yo, this game is getting pretty tasty. So there I was sitting in the Kroger with the game up on my phone watching it. And yeah, I mean, I thought that dude on Northern Illinois, I thought he was going to miss the field goal. It felt very surreal to be watching it that way. But he made it. And like you said, yeah, I'm not going to complain about Notre Dame losing. I'm just not going to do that. So
Yeah.
yeah, it just, I, how it translates to this week, I really don't know. I think we were talking about this kind of immediately after the game. Like, my thoughts on it have just been that, like, if you're Purdue, it's like, this was going to be a big game for you one way or the other, whether they're five or whether what they're 18 now, in terms of ranking, it's going to be a big game for you anyways. So, like, I guess if anything, you probably can just look at Northern Illinois' performance and know that, hey, look, if we go out there and we put a whole game together, we can beat these guys. Because not only like not only like do you have a Notre Dame team who doesn't appear to be living up to expectations, but you get them at home. Like, Northern Illinois went into South Bend and did that, and so you're like, man, you're gonna have that home field advantage, and so, like, I think it probably gives you a better feeling about, like, yeah, okay, we really do have a chance of beating these guys. Now, obviously, you have to actually go out and do it, but, like, I feel like it's hard to look at that game and not feel a bit better about Purdue's chances this week, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And we'll do some predictions later. And spoiler alert, I was on the fence about it. But the outcome might have swayed where I'm gonna go with that. But one more thing on that, just kind of wanted to talk about and kind of see, 'cause I feel like it's kind of overblown sometimes. It's kind of coach speak, but and I'm sure Marcus Freeman, the coach for Notre Dame, has gotten his. I'm sure it hasn't been a fun week at practice this week, but
Way. Yeah.
I'm not one in sim. I don't know how you feel. I don't really believe in like a wake up call. I think kind of I'm more of a believer of you are who you are. But curious your thoughts kind of on, is this like more of a wake up call, do you think, for Notre Dame, or are they maybe not that good? Because this is now two games in a row where they've kind of struggled offensively. Now, granted, going into K Kyle Field and in College Station is a tough environment,
Right.
but you know, we're looking at 2 weeks now where it's like,
Look kind of the
I don't know
same.
about that offense.
Right. No, dude, I'm there with you. That's kind of why also I was like, man, even if they had won, I still would have felt good because, like you said, like, they won what, 23-13 against Texas A&M, but, like, that game was close, and it was close until the end. And, like, they had that good drive at the end where they were able to they broke the broke I think it was like a 30-yard touchdown run towards the end that kind of that busted it wide open. But I don't I yeah I just I kind of I what I felt like watching, especially watching last week, is I felt like I don't think their issues can be fixed in a week. Like, I think this might be who they are, which to me also says to Purdue, it's like, all right, well, if Notre Dame's gonna be down this year, if there's a year where you're gonna end this losing streak against them, it's gotta be now, doesn't it? Like, if you want to be taken seriously, if you want to show people, like, hey, we're not actually the 18th best team in the 18th ranked team in the Big Ten, you gotta win a game like today. Because if Notre Dame ends up having an overall, like, subpar season, you don't want to sit there and have them have one of their wins be against you. Like, nah, it's a hard pass. So yeah, man, I'm kind of the same boat as you. I'm like, they might not actually be that good. And we're kind of gonna get into it later, but, like, that's kind of one of my things about, like, what I kind of want to see is that, like, I'm not really convinced about Riley Leonard in terms of being a passer. And they just Yeah, they haven't looked as they haven't looked as imposing, I guess, and offensively as I thought they would have. And I think if you were going to see that, you would have seen that last week.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I want to talk about the quarterback play. But let's just kind of highlight it just before we jump in. Of course, Notre Dame week. The game is a 3:30 kickoff, sold out Ross-Ade Stadium.
That's right.
Crowd is gonna be electric. And yeah, let's just jump right into it. To me, you kind of touched on it a little bit. I think the quarterback play is going to be a huge factor in this game. One, two, I think Hudson Carr is the better quarterback out of the two. Three, it just came out this week that Riley Leonard dealing with an injury. Last I saw, he is planning to play. It is on his non-throwing shoulder, but you got to think that's going to be a factor in this game. But to me, if you're looking at straight up quarterback play, I think Purdue has the advantage, and I don't think it's close.
I think just because of the fact that you probably trust Hudson Carr more as a thrower than you do Riley Leonard. And yeah, that was actually one of my keys that I had kind of written down here is that if Hudson Carr like is smart with the football and he's making good throws, and running when he needs to, because Riley Leonard is very much so someone who I think Notre Dame's going to use more so like to run, and so. If you're getting a performance from Card where he's being smart with the football, making the right throws, and then he's running when he needs to, obviously getting down so that way he doesn't get hurt. He's not taking the big shots. I mean, I feel like yeah, I just feel like we're very Purdue's very much so set up to win that to well, I should just say to be in a good position to win that game. Obviously, like you can't turn over the ball and stuff like that. But yeah, man, I'm with you, man. I feel like we do have the advantage at quarterback, and I think that you're kind of lying to yourself if you think that we're not. Just because, again, like I said, just from a passing standpoint, like who do you fear more? Like are, do you you don't fear Riley Leonard more throwing the ball than Hudson Card, do you?
I don't. And I mean, the past three games that Hudson has played, well, I guess you could honestly say four now, but I mean, he has been lights out, especially at home. I mean, the numbers are just silly that he's putting up. And I know you can tell me that it was against IU last year and it was against Indiana State. But I mean, numbers are numbers and they don't lie. And Hudson has been putting them up. And I'm really, really excited going into this game to see the playmakers on the edge for the Boilermakers. You talked a little bit about it in both the games between Notre Dame has had this year. They've given up some big plays, and I think that it's there. I'm really curious to see kind of the play calling. And the shots that we take, because that's one thing that Hudson kind of missed, in game one. He had a couple of deep balls, that were there, that he just missed. So can he make those throws, and can the playmakers on the edge make some plays for him? Because opportunity is there. Notre Dame has showed you now 2 weeks in a row that they will give up a big play.
Right. No, and I agree with you. Yeah, like they've given up some plays, and yeah, this is like again, it was another point that I'd written down for myself is that like obviously along with Hudson Carr playing well, it's like you're gonna need some guys from those skill positions, running back, wide receiver, tight end. I don't really care who it is, but you're gonna need some guys who step up. And like you said, there's going to be an opportunity to make a play, and we're going to need guys to do that. And I think if we get that, again, you like how that bodes for Purdue going forward. And heck, you could even say you like how it bodes for them going forward, even outside of this game. So absolutely, I just like there really is an opportunity, a moment. I'd say for a Purdue like. From head to toe, from a coaching standpoint, like you were talking about play calling, obviously offensively and defensively, like this is really an opportunity to show people, like, look, man, like we're not what you think we are this year. And it's going to require people to play at an elevated level, like, you know, most notably Hudson Card. But like, this is kind of what we need, you know, like if you want to take that next step, if you want to be a team that's playing in a bowl games type stuff, these are the games you're going to have to win, where you're going to have to raise the level of your performance to get this win.
And so we've talked about the QB play. One thing that I wanted to highlight too, and this was from the game notes on Purdue Sports. In the past three games at Ross-Ade Stadium, the Purdue ground game has tallied 779 yards, averaging 260 yards per contest, led by Devin Mockabee at just under 95 yards a game. So, you know, we did a
Some
lot of talk
defense.
about Hudson and the playmakers, but you know, if you can get the ground game going too, that's just going to open things up too. So, kind of excited not only to see Mockabee, and it's one thing we talked about on the first episode too, was that 1-2 punch between him and Reggie Love, and kind of see how that ground game can really get going.
Yeah, I think that to me that was more just speaking to like how we need to do in the trenches. That O line, if they're able to protect, if they're able to, you know, obviously pass block, but if you're able to run block, I mean, if you're able to if you're able to create some lanes for Mock and Love, like this can get really good. Because what I think about in that situation, if you control the line of scrimmage, as I'm thinking, like we're there in the fourth quarter, and if you need to put a drive together. From a play calling standpoint, you're able to stay balanced, but also late in the game, I've, you know, equated to like being like in the final rounds of a boxing match or a championship boxing match, where like you've been running well all game, and so that's like putting water in the basement, and now it's just body shot, body shot, body shot, as you have two good running backs who can run between the tackles, and just not only are you moving the chains, but you're eating clock. Like it's just if you can control that line of scrimmage. Again, that's just another part of it that I really think, you know, like you were just mentioning, like averaging 200 yards a game. They run for 200 yards a game on Saturday. I mean, you tell me, you think we'll be in good shape?
We will do that. I will be doing handstands in my living room watching.
Doing Boilermakers after the
So
game,
just know. So let's flip it over to the other side now. And on the defensive side, what are you kind of looking forward to most? To me, this game, I don't know why, but I think Dylan Tanemann has a big game. I think he's going to make a play late that's really going to kind of change the game. But I think especially like on the line, I think this is an area where Purdue can generate some pressure and try to get after Riley Leonard. But curious your thoughts on the defensive side, because I think we're both in agreement. Riley leaves a lot on the table, I guess is a good way to put it. He has been hyped up. I'm not sure I buy into the hype on him. Hopefully we're not regretting this. But I really think that there's going to be an opportunity to make some plays on the defensive end. Just kind of looking back at last week, he had a really bad interception late. That allowed Northern Illinois to drive and get that game-winning field goal. Now it's flipped on the road, raucous environment, like we said, sold-out crowd. I got a feeling that the D line is really going to show out come 30-30.
Yeah, I think Riley Leonard, I mean, well, first off, if he does end up throwing for like 250, 275, we will circle the block. And one, I'm gonna post your phone number out on social so people can go ahead and get at you directly to know that you put this out there in the atmosphere like that. but I think that you're right. I think that the D line has a massive opportunity in terms of being able to control this game. I think if they're smart in terms of rushing, like being able to apply, to get pressure to the quarterback, but you know, you got to rush discipline. You got to stay in your lanes because you don't want to over, you know, you don't want to allow Riley to be able to escape and use his legs, because then that's when he's most effective. And he's a big dude. So like, you can't sit there and, you know, ask your defensive backs to be out here making, you know, a bunch of tackles. So I think that's really important. I wouldn't be surprised if Purdue like somehow did like some type of spy activity on him in terms of just making sure, hey, where he moves, you go. But I also think kind of like what you lean, like taking off your point about Thienemann, I think that he's going to throw you. I think that Leonard's going to throw you one to two. There's going to be a couple opportunities that he's going to give you. And when he does, it is imperative that we catch it. If he throws one up, it has to be picked. It has to be picked. It just has to be. Because those opportunities are the things that, especially if it happens early, those are the things that can get that momentum, that snowball effect going for you. I think that a turnover early, and then I can see Thienemann making a pick late that just kind of like seals it. But in between, you know, D-line, don't be afraid to sack him. Don't be afraid to cause some fumbles. I'm here for it. I'm all for a stress-free football watching afternoon on Saturday. I'm all for it. I'm so long to support this message.
I think you're going to see an aggressive defense too. There's going to be some blitzes. And I think to your point, they're really going to try to get after Riley. Let's get some quick predictions in here before we flip it over and talk about volleyball a little bit, because they balled out as well last weekend. So I don't want to leave them hanging, but before we talk about predictions real quick, just wanted to highlight Gary Danielson will be back. Purdue quarterback legend will be calling the game on CBS. Yes. Believe this is the first time he will be back since the Holy Toledo game.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Hopefully that he gets some recognition there. I believe I saw Jim Everett will be back as well. I think he'll be the honorary captain. So cool to see a couple of the cradle of Purdue
guys in
quarterbacks back
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
so let's kind of real quick, Sim, do a prediction here. I think Purdue is going to score some points, and I really think this is going to be a Hudson Card coming out party. Like we've talked about, he's been putting up numbers. The competition hasn't really been there, but a lot more eyes are going to be on this game. I think he plays well. I think he puts up some numbers that kind of will shock some people. And I think Purdue wins 28-20.
That's kind of close to what I was thinking myself. I kind of have it in my mind when I was thinking about it. I could see it being, you know, like a 7 to 10 point game. Just kind of depends on to me, actually, it depends more so on turnovers. I think if we're able to get a couple turnovers, I could see it being like, I actually wrote down 27-17 Purdue. Which I know I'm going to be nervous as all hell, you know, watching it, but
we both will now.
Right. But I do think that, like, and the thing is, like, I think Hudson Card, like him having a good game doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be, you know, as good as he was last 24-25, you know, what was it, 4 touchdowns. It doesn't mean that. It just means like, if that dude, if he is running the offense, moving us up and down the field, he, you know, making the passes, continuing to move the chains and whatnot, being smart, like protecting the football, like all of that, will play into it. And I can see, I know if we're able to get a couple turnovers, and if we ourselves can limit it to just one, and I prefer that turnover to come early because you can recover from that. Then yeah, I see the path of how Purdue wins. And so, yeah, like my prediction is 27-17 Purdue, but I mean, to be quite frank, if Purdue wins 24-23, 21-20, I don't really care. Just Purdue have more points at the end. So please, that's all I'm asking.
If they win 2-0, I will take it and I will be happy.
Win 3-2, I don't care.
Just get the win.
Right. Just have more points when it hits all zeros.
That's it. That's all we ask. Not asking for a lot on here. We just want to see some wins.
We never do.
Speaking of wins, the Purdue volleyball team went out west. And Sim, they had a pretty good weekend last weekend.
Bro, that was it was a business trip out there, man. They went out there 3-1, 3-0, 3-0. You know, but against Cal, Utah State, you know, beat Utah State dominating fashion like the basketball team did back in the tourney. And then, yeah, so like now they're up, you know, 6-0. They're seven in the rank, moved up one in the rankings up to number seven. And then wanted to give a special call out to Taylor Anderson. She had 52 kills in that match against Cal, which went four sets. On the weekend, she was averaging, I think it was 12 assists per yeah, she had 52 assists against Cal, and she was averaging almost 12 assists per set on like for the weekend. And she won, was a Big Ten setter of the week. So like special shout out to her. But yeah, for the ladies, just I mean, literally just going out there for Utah vibes, views, and wins. We love that. So we just let's hope they keep this going. And then obviously they got a big weekend coming up in Dallas. So, yeah, they might even, yeah, well, they might face Kentucky. So, yeah, man, I mean, the volleyball team is they're coming out hot, and again, we love that. So, if the Purdue football, if we want to go ahead and win, and then volleyball, just go ahead and just make this the best weekend ever,
Hey, that sounds like a plan to me.
right?
So yeah, shout out to the volleyball team. Keep doing what you're doing. And can't wait to see the results this weekend. Hopefully, they'll come out victorious again. What could be a potential top 10 matchup if everything plays out how it should. So we will talk about that on our next podcast next week. Look for that to come out. Early next week, hopefully, we will also be discussing a Purdue victory against Notre Dame. Again, 3:30 kickoff, sold out Ross-Ade Stadium on CBS. It's going to be electric. And it's going to be what I think is a chance for a real statement game from Coach Walters. And I'm excited for it. We did our predictions. We both think the Boilers are going to win. Sim, quickly, any last thoughts on the game?
Nah, man. I kind of echo what you said. Like, it's a big statement opportunity for Purdue as a program. I think coaching, like, yeah, with Walters, and then obviously for all the players, especially some of the more notable guys, like a Max Clair, obviously Hudson Carr, like we were talking about. The skill, the receivers, the running backs, the D line. I mean, it's just everyone has an opportunity to on Saturday to really draw some attention in the best way of like, no, we kind of have this train is moving in a certain type of direction, and you can either get on board with us or get run over type stuff. So I kind of hope that, I mean, I really hope that this plays out the way that we want it to. And then also I did want to add that it's 3:30 p.m. Eastern, because I know we got people who don't necessarily live in the Eastern time zone, so don't want to clap them up.
That's a good call out there. So 3:30 Eastern time, CBS, Boilermaker legend Gary Danielson on the call. And yeah, excited to see how this team responds. Win or lose, we'll be back next week to break it down. Real quickly, also want to just give a shout out to everybody who has downloaded the podcast, who has listened to it, who has given us feedback on it. Really appreciate everything that y'all do, and have supported the First and Goal podcast. So thank you everybody for all their continued support. Please keep up with this support. We'd love to hear how we're doing. Welcome any feedback and reviews. Please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts if you think it deserves it. But again, just shout out to everybody for downloading and listening, and really, really appreciate it. So for Sim Longa, this is Ben Roberts signing off. Episode 2, First and Goal Podcast. Boilers, please win on Saturday. Please and thank you.
Right.
Boiler up, everybody. Peace.
Yes, sir. Later.